several corners, clumps of its wool were gummed together with indiscernible dirt. Tristan concentrated on one particular patch in which something wriggled. He forced himself to watch as a louse emerged from the fibres. He continued to breathe steadily, lowering himself to bring his knees onto the worn and polished wood. He remained there, his back as a mast on a ship, feet together behind him, his soles pink and bare. He pushed his hands together in the familiar pose, his index fingers in the shape of a steeple, as the words of the prayers rippled through his mind like a chattering stream. He fought to still the waters, to make each word count, trying to ignore the extraneous thoughts which fizzed resolutely on the periphery of his brain. His mouth was closed along with his eyes. The prayer began to work its magic. A few moments later, Tristan started sharply at the clatter of something crashing into the window. Wings beat against the glass, causing him to open his eyes, a small furrow between his eyebrows. A bird of some kind, confused perhaps by the sudden noise of the railway tracks overhead. He closed his eyes again, breathed once more, finding his way back to that place where the clouds cleared and he was in that state of blissful, silent white. He remained there for some time, calm and still. He didn't notice the door opening quietly behind him, nor the shadow falling over him in the burgeoning light of the room. He failed even to register the blood trickling down his face as he fell forward onto the floor. So peaceful was his entry into eternity. The dying red of the sun struck Erica Martin's face as she reached for a glass of Retsina. Sam and she sat behind a stone balustrade, overlooking a verdant valley as the last strands of daylight weaved their way through the treetops. As the sky changed colour, Martin removed her sunglasses and glanced to the right, where Sam was having to squint at his book. "Shall we order?" she said. "We've run out of wine." Sam looked up at her with a smile. "Sure." He shifted forward and gestured to the waiter, who came over with a confident smile, the menu a familiar friend. Soon plates of stuffed olives, octopus salad, grilled sea bass, and a basket of bread lay before them on the table. Martin watched Sam as he tucked in, spooning food onto his plate, his brow unlined and tanned, the creases on his forehead smoothed out by the calm of the last few days. She found tears pricking at her eyes all of a sudden, a storm of something passing through her, wrenching her gut into a knot. With effort, she put her fork gently onto the white linen tablecloth and reached for her replenished wine glass. Without seeming to notice any of this, Sam put his hand on her free one. "It'll be all right, you know, when we get back." Martin nodded, not understanding why she suddenly felt so at bay. "Jim will be reasonable about us. He has to be." Sam looked out at the vista as the last red streaks of the sun finally disappeared behind the distant hills. "He left you, after all." Martin's stomach muscles clenched at that, and, just as quickly, the sadness ebbed. She put down her glass and reached for her fork as candles were lit, popping into flame around them like fireflies. "And what about us?" she said, almost lightly, nearly as casual as a shrug. "Is there an us?" she thought, not daring to ask the question, pressing her lips together with a leaden pause. He moved his eyes back to her and squeezed her hand. "If that's what we want, what we decide, then of course there will be. No question." He moved his glass to chink against hers. "Here's to holidays," he said, holding her gaze as he drank. "Here's to the future." Martin waited a beat before tipping her glass back to his. "Salut," she said with a sad sort of a smile. "To the future." Chapter 2. Detective Inspector Erica Martin was already at her desk when the call came in that a body had been discovered at the River.